are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program that puts money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. All right, we're going to be talking college bowls today. Little NFL talk. Yeah, we're on the Fantasy Sports Network. I can't lie to you guys, all right? No fantasy talk on this show today. There's no fantasy college football, man. Damn you, DraftKings. Actually, damn you, regulators. There's no college fantasy to talk about, but we got all these bowl games. We'll talk some fantasy tomorrow. We're going to give you a DraftKings Millionaire Maker lineup, and once the NFL winds down, we'll begin talking more fantasy basketball throughout the season. But we're in college football mode today. Mark Lawrence is going to join us, playbook.com's Mark Lawrence. We're going to send it to the Strip. Teddy Covers will step up, and InSportsMemo.com, one of the Covers experts, Teddy Covers, will join me, and we'll talk some bowls. Little NFL, but some bowls. And speaking of the bowls, been a lot of talk about Ed McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette not playing in their respective bowl games. Leonard Fournette has a high ankle sprain. I caught him some slack. I was pretty hard on Christian McCaffrey, and I always call him Ed. Man, I'm old. I'm always calling him Ed, but Christian McCaffrey. I was pretty hard on McCaffrey. And you know, listen, I am old school. I do believe in that old school, the team, and you run through a wall. And I do believe that when you're a football player, it is a lot like being a soldier. You're out there, you sacrifice yourself. If you don't want to do it, don't be on the team. But that's how we roll here, all right? That's how we roll. The thing that bothers me the most, and I said this before, but the thing that bothers me the most is how people aren't bothered by it. And this is the culture that we live in right now. You know, a self-entitled, expected society in which everybody only thinks about themselves. No one's part of a bigger picture. And it's funny because people are like, they're coming at me. Morenzi, why do you get so mad? It's a meaningless game. You know, the Sun Bowl's a meaningless game. Well, Mitch Trubisky, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft, maybe. He's playing in a game. Jabril Pepper is going to be a top five, top six pick in the NFL draft. He's playing in the Orange Bowl. The Orange Bowl is a meaningless game. What are they playing for? By definition, every game is meaningless unless it's the championship game, right? So why don't we just scrap everything? Because they're all meaningless. I want to let you in on a little secret here, people. I don't want to shatter the perception, but all sports are meaningless. It's all meaningless. What does any of it mean? The Chicago Cubs won the World Series for the first time in 108 years. So what? Did it solve cancer? Did it bring us world peace? Like, what did the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series do for the world? Made a bunch of people happy for a couple of hours. And like, you know, like I said this before, and listen, I'd love to see the Buffalo Bills win. But, like, you know, when the Red Sox won, I saw somebody, you know, well, then that's my life. I can die happy now. If your life is dependent on another team winning and a bunch of dudes that don't care about you won one night, then, you know, you got problems in your life. The fact of the matter is, and I'll give credit to Bruce Feldman. Feldman, you know, college football writer. He's always bouncing around. I don't know where. I think he might be with Fox now. Sporting News, Fox, SI, whatever. Feldman. So, Feldman's on Twitter talking, and everyone's giving him heat about, like, you know, because Feldman thinks McCaffrey should be playing too. And he basically said, if you don't like these bowl games, then you don't like competition. You don't like football, and you don't like competition. Why does anybody do anything? Why does somebody try to run the mile faster than somebody else? Why do people do push-ups and sit-ups? Why do people work out on their own? Oh, you're not in the Olympics. What's the point of working out? It's meaningless. If you think that things are meaningless in life, you're a loser in life. If you think, like, this show is meaningless to me, oh, it's meaningless, whatever. We're in a podcast booth. Nobody's here. We're taping it 4 hours before it's, like, early in the morning. It's meaningless. I don't care. Then if I didn't care, then you know what? I'm meaningless. I'm meaningless. I remember how we had Mike Ditka on the show a couple of weeks ago. I talked to him about Jim Harbaugh. He goes, Gabe, I'll tell you what, one thing about Jim Harbaugh, he goes, this guy's the most competitive person I've ever met in my life. Iron Mike Ditka says this. I've heard stories about Harbaugh. He plays ping pong with the kids. He gets mad. Like, Harbaugh wants to win at ping pong. He wants to win the national championship. You know, I was talking with Robin Black about this in the past, like UFC champions, alpha males. Like Robin was saying, like, you got a bunch of fighters in a room. It means something that you're going to go first. Yeah, you went through the door first. You stepped in front of the guy first. Why? Because they're competitors. All the way down to the final. No. He's got a better seat than I do at the press conference. They're competitors. People that say that these games are meaningless have never competed in their life. And I'm not one of these guys that, oh, no, if you didn't play pro, because I didn't play pro. But I've competed in my life. I competed. I played a relatively high level of hockey as a youngster. And even as an adult, I competed. I played at the NBA Hoop It Up 3 years in a row. 1 year I played these dudes, man. I was a dirty basketball player, I'll admit it. I played street ball in L.A. for years. I picked up the game at Fairfax High, you know, where Sean Higgins played, Fairfax. So I played Fairfax street rules. I'm playing in the NBA Hoop It Up. It's a true story. Remember Jason Van Horn, the basketball player? He was the ambassador. He had to, you know the NBA Hoop It Up. There's like 100 games going on at once. Van Horn had to come to our court and suspend our game because he said we were violating the fun of the NBA Hoop It Up by being as dirty as we were. Why were we as dirty as we were? Because we wanted to win. All right? And, you know, I played street ball style. So my nose got broken. Literally, like it's still loose. My nose has been broken a lot. So my nose got broken. Basically, I sort of tripped a dude. I was playing real hard with this guy. And this dude, big brother guy, man. And he told me, I'm going to get you. And on the next play, he palmed me in the face. Bam! He busted my nose. So I'm playing the Hoop It Up. Blood's gushing, like gushing. It's pouring out of my nose. I got the ball. The ref's like, what the hell, guys? You guys, whoa, whoa, whoa. I looked at the ref. I was like, we good? We good? I took the blood. I gargled it. I did it like mouthwash. I spit it at his feet. I said, let's ball. I smiled at him. I said, let's ball, man. Let's ball. He started freaking out. This guy's going to get his blood all over me, man. I think he's got AIDS. This is unbelievable. I'm going in for layups. There's blood spurting everywhere. That game was meaningless. Why did I play in the NBA Hoop It Up with a broken nose? Because I'm a competitor. That's why. I'm a competitor. And if you think that any of these games are meaningless, then you're a punk-ass bitch that's never competed for anything in your damn life. Mark Lawrence, Teddy Covers, coming up next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. As you can see, we continue to rock the bunker. Let's call it Studio B. We'll be back in Studio A next week. The truth of the matter is, it's basically me and A-Rap here and a couple of employees that have been here for like less than 2 months and they're forced to work. Like, I'm starting to wonder, maybe they don't like us, Red, because you and I are like the only people that have been here the whole time that are here right now. Like, anybody that anybody's not here, except I'm here at like 10 in the morning this week for some reason, because we got to tape the show earlier. Whatever, man. It is what it is. And I'm fired up to talk football with a man who knows more about college football and more about bowl trends than anybody in North America does. And let's say the world. Mark Lawrence joins us. Playbook.com. What's going on, Mark?
Happy holidays, Gabe. I hope all is going well with you, and the new year brings a bountiful package of winners to you, nothing but winners in the 2017 year ahead.
Yeah, same to you, Mark. I appreciate it. You know, 2016, it's kind of been a weird year. I'm not going to lie. I haven't gotten into the rhythm that I would have liked. By evidence is the fact that, Mark, I will not be going to Las Vegas in 2 weeks to pick up a check this year, Mark.
I'll be on your heels, Gabe. I'll be home with you as well. We had those eighth place finishes last year. We look forward to going to Vegas to get those checks, and now it's just a distant bad memory in the past. And you know what happened in the NFL this year? I want to tell this in a quick nutshell, to me anyway. What happened in the NFL, this is the worst year in the NFL where teams have won football games, favorites have won and covered the spread. I live on underdogs who win the game and don't beat the spread, and that window of teams of winning and not covering was the smallest this year than it's ever been in the NFL. So if you bet a favorite, you cashed a ticket, which left me hanging out in the cold.
You know, it's funny. Somebody asked me, what went wrong this year? And I told them nothing. Like this, you know, somebody was like, oh, you didn't put the work in. I'm like, I didn't put the work in. Like, I did the exact same freaking thing I've done for the last 30 years, all right? It's like you said, Mark, a lot, you know, what we knew didn't work this year. You know what I mean? Like, they pulled the carpet out from underneath us, especially in the National Football League. And it's what's even more frustrating. I know you know this feeling, too, because, you know, you're a public guy, but then you have private picks as well, in which even there were weekends when I won, like, $2,300, $3,000, from the book, and I was pissed off about the contest. It's amazing how it can just consume you and anger you, Mark.
It does. It becomes all-consuming. It's just, you know, it's a labor of love, but nobody likes losing, and you know, when you're losing and you know you can do a better job or get a better result, it just keeps you up at night. That's why I haven't slept a lot this football season.
Mark,
looking forward to 2017.
I think I'm in 1,500 place, Mark, in the contest. Like, no, you don't understand. Like, 1,500 place. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't even know where I am, Gabe.
No, I'll be on. No, me neither. I don't even look at the standing. Someone told me they were like a troller on Twitter. Hey, Marenzi, you're 1,600 place. Hey, you think you're so good? Just screw off. You know what I mean? When you accomplish something, get back to me. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But you know, it's crazy, Mark. Like 2 years ago, I finished 31st. So I almost thought like it was just easy. I was like, I don't know. I go 62% every year in the NFL.
That's exactly. I was with you 2 years ago. We were 50th. And last year, 8th. So we're thinking, okay, 50th, 8th. Yeah. You know, we're going to go for the ring.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I was telling people, I was like, you know, I really hope like to top 8th, but I said, to be honest, I said, I don't know, we'll be anywhere in between like 20th and 50th. Like, yeah, I was like sort of, yeah, we'll be in the money. You know what I mean? It was no, like, there was no dispute in my mind about it. I did win a $5,000 survivor pool this year. That's not bad, Mark, you know. And
well, that's nice. That pays for your entry, more than your entry fee out there. And, you know, the puke to me in that contest this year, Gabe, is the fact that the leader, or the cash the money is 60%. You only need 60% in that contest this year.
God,
the leader's under 66%.
It makes me want to cry, Mark. Last year, you and I, we had like 55 wins, and we only finished in 8th. And
so
this
right.
year, guys, their front runners were 47 wins. I'm like, dear God, man.
Unbelievable.
It's so frustrating, which leads me into the bowl games, Mark. And you know, I started out hit or miss. I was doing all right. And then, you know, the losses just started to rack up for me in a couple of days in a row. And it just made me want to puke when I saw, like, the dogs were, like, 12-1 or something like that.
The dogs have really barked in the bowl games this year. I can ascertain that by the Playbook College Bowl stat report. 15-5, the first 20 games, and the bowl report is almost all largely dog-oriented. So I can relate to what's happening with the dogs in the bowl games. My big concern is what happens moving forward here, because generally these major bowl games favor the favorites. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see exactly what happens when the big bowl games roll around.
All right, so let's jump in. Let's jump into a game that kicks off in a couple hours here. What is it? Man, I've given up on the names, Mark, of these games. What is it? The Belk Bowl?
The
Belk Bowl. Yeah, Arkansas, Virginia Tech.
I think there we go. That's the Belk Bowl.
Yeah, the Belk Bowl. Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. I thought they banned all NCAA events in Charlotte because Caitlyn Jenner can't go to the bathroom where he wants.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The players have to pee and potty things on the sideline.
So, Ark Arkansas and Virginia Tech. Here's interesting. Speaking of underdogs, now one thing, Mark, and I know you wrote about this in the playbook and you track all this, it caught my eye too. Vanderbilt, I was on them. Disappointing effort. Mississippi State. Yeah, I know you guys were a 5-win team, but come on, man. You know, you struggled with a mediocre MAC team, Mark. Like, SEC, not as shiny as it has been in the past. South Florida and the Gamecocks going on right now as we speak. So we've got Arkansas. We've got an Arkansas plus 7. Let's throw in all the trends before we get to the trends. My eyeball tells me, yeah, Arkansas is a pretty physical team that should be able to pound the rock and run the ball down Virginia Tech's throats. Virginia Tech are good, but they're not there yet. They're good, and Evan's a good quarterback, but I like the overall physical toughness of Arkansas in this football game getting 7 points.
I do. I like the fact that Brett Bielema's been there and done that before. He himself is terrific as a head coach when his teams are off losses, and he's taking on an opponent off a loss. Double loss situations for Bielema. 13-2, straight up 12-2 to the spread. That's a nice roll. And while the Southeast Conference is down this year, we knew that going into the bowl games, the SEC was down. There's nobody behind Alabama in truth. But the fact of the matter is, in bowl games, when you give them 4 more points and they're off a loss, they've been terrific. They're 16-4 to the spread, our SEC dogs in this role here. I like the situation here. You got Virginia Tech off that disappointing loss to Clemson in the ACC title game. Their season was made just getting to that game. I think Arkansas makes their season by winning it, going out with a win in this bowl game here.
Here's a number as to why you guys got to subscribe to the newsletter. It's like $10 a week, guys. The wealth of information is unbelievable. Mark, teams that lose their conference championship games, 0-8 straight up and against the spread. 0-8. You lose your conference championship game, it's a classic letdown after the fact. And, we saw with Navy, right? We saw with Navy with the letdown after losing their conference championship game. Then they lost Army after the fact. You know, that's like a domino effect. Vautech, man, that's a hard number. I look at that 0-8 straight up and against the spread. Last 8 teams have lost their conference championship game playing in a bowl game. Not to mention the Hogs. It's another thing that was at the back of my mind. They're the kings in next year, aren't they, Arkansas? They always wrap up the season with such an impressive win, and you're like, man, next year the Hogs are going to be real dangerous.
Yeah, you can't wait to get back to the Hogs after watching them wrap up the season the year before, and that's exactly the role they're in. You know, in handicapping these bowl games, especially these minor bowl games, the first thing you look at are teams that are disappointed, are favored, and don't want to be here, and they're taking on an opponent that wants to be here. I think that's the perfect case with Virginia Tech. They came so close against Clemson in that bowl game. They only lost by 7 points. They win that game. They're going on to a big New Year's Day 6 game. Instead, they land in the Belk Bowl.
Love the points in this game. Plus the 7. I've given up on totals, Mark. We were talking about frustration. How about the other day? North Texas and Army, the total's 48. It's a freaking track meet. It goes to overtime 31-31. Temple and Wake Forest, everyone was talking, first one to 10 wins the game. It's going to be a low-scoring game. Defense first. It goes over the number. And then, of course, Mark, you know, Washington State can't score a touchdown until garbage time. Boise State and Baylor are supposed to be a track meet, goes under. So I've just given up on the damn totals, to be honest with you.
Yeah, totals are a little bit difficult there. It's tough enough handicapping these games, let alone wondering how these games are going to play out total-wise. The obvious is there in some games like Western Kentucky, to light a scoreboard up. But Washington State, I mean, nobody expected a defensive effort in a game like that. You have to have everything, all the ducks in line, I think, to feel comfortable with these bowl totals here. And like I say, it's more difficult for me concentrating on who's going to beat the spread in these games as opposed to the over-under totals. I'll just stay with the side.
Yeah, you're exactly right. With the offense is not being on the field for 3-4 weeks, it's a new element to everything. How about the Big Ten too? We're talking about the SEC. Big Ten just keeps cashing tickets. Indiana cashes another ticket last night. Northwestern cashes the ticket. Big Ten doing very well against the point spread. All right, let's talk about a bowl game. The Holiday Bowl used to be like that game that was like, oh, there's going to be fireworks and the old Jim McMahon days and stuff, right? BYU going back a ways. The new Holiday Bowl to me is the Alamo Bowl, Mark. To me, the Alamo Bowl is sort of the official kickoff of the good bowl games. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we got the Alamo Bowl, and then, like, yeah, the bigger team's starting to play now. The Alamo Bowl teams care about winning this game. It's a big one. And we've got two very, very fun college football teams facing each other tonight with Oak State and the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark.
It'll be one heck of a football game. As you say, Gabe, I think this is the kickoff to the good games that are upcoming here. Colorado, Oklahoma State, they won 19 games combined between these two football teams. You've got Colorado here, maybe a disappointed team having lost to Washington in that Pac-12 championship game. Oklahoma State obviously didn't play in a championship game because there isn't one in the Big 12.
I wanted to ask you about that, Mark, though, but they sort of did, didn't they?
Yes, they sort of did.
That game was a Big 12 championship game. The winner of that game won the Big 12, so it was a Big 12 championship game.
For them, in their mind, there's no question about it, you know, the fact that it was just that being the case. So I think that works in the favor in this game, at least mentally in the mindset of these two football teams. But you've got two pretty good wide open offenses here. You know, you got Oklahoma State averaging 560 yards a game, nearly 450 for Colorado here. I think this will be a well-lit scoreboard in this football game here, going a little bit against what I said about not handicapping totals, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do not light the scoreboard up in this game.
Yeah, this one is, yeah, you're right. There's certain exceptions to that rule. You know, you can really make an argument for both teams in this football game, Mark. Like, you know, I guess all the trends are on Colorado's side, right? I mean, you know, we can throw, all right, we have that 0-8 conference championship game thing, but, you know, as we stated about Oklahoma State as well, Oklahoma State, to me, they're so good, but there's like an element, I always feel they can be better, Mark. You know what I mean? Like, when I watch Oklahoma State, I'm like, man, you guys are good, but you almost could be like championship good. They're just like, you're a step away from being elite, it seems, that team.
Yeah, we really like this team in the Playbook Preview Guide magazine this year. We thought that they could perhaps steal the Pac or the Big 12 championship. They were that talented, and they still do have that same amount of talent on the field here in this game. But you're coming into this contest here. This is a Colorado football team that, you know, were they good? Yes, they were that good. Their head coach wins Coach of the Year honors this year. And, you know, I lost a big game with them down the stretch in that Washington State game. I tried to beat Colorado with my College Football Play of the Year using Washington State, and the Buffaloes stepped up and they delivered the goods in that game. To their credit, this team is for real, Colorado. They brought a ton of starters back from last year's team. Two very experienced football teams here. I'm going to lean small to Colorado. As much as I love the underdogs in games, and I do love the underdogs here, I'm going to lean to Colorado in this game, even though they did drop that championship title game to Washington.
I have a little concern about the Pac-12, Mark. You know, the way Washington State was exposed. We saw Indiana last night give Utah all they can handle. It's leading me into this Washington game in a minute here. So we can't hit every bowl game. I'd love to, but I know you're a busy man, Mark, so we're not going to hit. We're gonna hit every bowl game. But let's quickly just hit Fridays. We got Georgia and TCU, intriguing football game right there. The McCaffrey Bowl with North Carolina and Stanford. I'm starting to buy into the Tar Heels in this game, and I totally understand why. I get it. And that's the thing, you know, people talking about McCaffrey, and I'm getting a lot of heat because I ripped McCaffrey and I called him a gutless punk, and people are like, oh, you know, you're like an old man, angry old man, Morency. I get the argument of why they're not playing, but, you know, Mark, I look at this and I'm like, Mitch Trubisky is going to be the first overall pick in the draft. He's playing. Jabril Peppers is playing. Dalvin Cook is playing. I see all these other kids that are drafting higher, going to go higher than McCaffrey that are playing in these bowl games. I mean, they're all meaningless. If we want to get into this, you know, every game is meaningless. The World Series is meaningless in the big scheme of things. Does the Pope care? No. You know what I mean? Everything's meaningless. It's competition. It's sports. It's what we do. You know, I saw Bruce Feldman, college football writer, and he was talking about none of the bowl games are meaningless, and you know, somebody said, oh, they're all meaningless. And he said, if you don't like it, it's competition. That's what, you know, that's what this is. But nevertheless, Elijah Hood is out. Trubisky struggled, Mark. If you notice down the stretch, when the talk of, you know what, oh, man, because nobody thought Mitch Trubisky. You know, people talking about Deshaun Watson. People talking about Deshaun Kizer. You know, dude's named Deshaun going high at the quarterback position, but not Mitch Trubisky. As soon as Trubisky became that it guy and the scouts started really paying attention to him, he struggled down the stretch, Mark. This is a big game for Trubisky, but I think he responds here, actually.
I think he does tier two Gabe as well. He is the real deal. He's from my hometown in Cleveland, Ohio. And believe me, the fans in Cleveland would love nothing more.
Oh, that's why they want him. I didn't realize that. He's from Ohio, huh?
That's the reason probably part of the reason they tanked in the second half of the season, did the Cleveland Browns. And they were really relieved, at least, to say when San Francisco won their game as well. But nonetheless, Trubisky is the guy. And he is talented. He's got the physical stature, the size, the speed, the arm strength. That's why he's going to be probably likely the number one pick in the draft. I'm going to throw this back to McCaffrey in one little reference to him, in defense to him, and not that I agree with this at all, but he was awfully banged up and physically beat up this football season.
Yeah.
He had a ton of injuries and a ton of ailments. So, you know, he could have said, I'm not sitting out to get ready for the draft. He could have said, I'm sitting out because I'm still hurt. I'm just not physically healthy. But the bottom line is Trubisky is playing in this bowl game here, and I do like their chances in this football contest here. This is a team that I think nobody will want to play in a bowl game right now. And if you look at Stanford's stats this year, they gained only 5 yards a game more than they allowed this year. This is not a typical Stanford football team. Their defense is mediocre at best, and I think that's going to end up being their downfall in this contest. I'm with you. I like the Heels.
All right, Mark, before we get you out of here, we got to talk about the college football playoff and maybe a quick take on the NFL. Numbers sort of been bouncing around. I can't lie to you, Mark. I'm concerned in seeing the Pac-12's mediocrity taking on these other teams. I really am. Like, Washington, like how many elite teams did Washington play this year? One.
Well, other than fellow Pac-12 teams, which are in question right now. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I'm saying USC, and that's it, Mark. And I'm saying, let's say, how many teams did they play that have a bunch of 3-star and 4-star and maybe a few 5-star guys? The USC Trojans. They were manhandled in that situation. I'm just wondering, and I see Washington State struggle, and I see all these Pac-12 teams struggle against the physicality. Because Washington sort of bullied people in the Pac-12, but Washington do have the athletes to sort of run with Bama. I do believe that. To me, Jake Browning is the X factor, whether he's overwhelmed or not. Last year, Mark, I got burnt. I love Connor Cook and Michigan State getting the points, remember, against Bama?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And, Connor Cook was overwhelmed, fell apart. They lost 35-0, whatever it was. They were down 35-0 at the half. It was 13 through the pick before the half, and then it got busted open. I'm a little bit concerned. I was talking about how totals were screwing me. To me, Mark, I like the over 54.5 in this game. Alabama scored, 25 touchdowns, not on offense type of deal. To me, I like the over of this game. 14's a little high, but all the trends are on Peterson's side here.
Well, they sure are. I mean, there's no coach better than he is when given an extra time to prepare for a football game. He's been masterful. He's also terrific in his career against good quality football teams. So he brings two strong commodities to the table in this contest. The thing that I question about Alabama in this game is, number one, they haven't been tested this year in any football game.
Yep.
It's very rare they can run the table that way to do just that. Number two, if you look at Nick Saban in his career, and I put this in my database, and if you think that Washington can find 21 points in this football game, if they can score 21 points in this contest, when Nick Saban has been favored by more than 5 points and he's allowed more than 20 points in a football game, he's 7-35 to the spread.
Wow.
Big bad number there that he's got to overcome here. And I believe Washington will find their 21 points in this football game. I like the Huskies in this contest here. I like all the extra time to prepare. There's plenty of hang room here that people don't understand. Alabama can win this game, go on to the national championship. They can win by 10. They can win by 11. They can win by 8. They don't have to win by 15 to get the job done here. And this is, the best opponent I think that Alabama will have faced this year, with the SEC also being down as poorly as is the Pac-12 this year.
Clemson, Ohio State. I was talking with Emery Hunt. I was talking with Emery Hunt about this game yesterday. I was talking with Joe Lisi. We've been talking a lot about this game, obviously. And a common theme that comes up with a lot of people I respect here, and it's my thought process too. The difference is Ohio State's passing attack is pedestrian, and that's being kind. Their passing attack is pretty weak. And we saw Michigan slow down their run game, and Ohio State was really struggling to move the sticks and pick up first downs. To me, quarterback play is so big at this level, and we got a better quarterback, I find, in Deshaun Watson. I like JT Barrett, good college quarterback, but to me, you know, which guy's going to be in the NFL. Deshaun Watson can make NFL throws. I like the fact that Deshaun, he doesn't get rattled under pressure, Mark. I've seen this kid throw on fourth and eight on a dime. He'll run for it. He's a winner, this kid. He's a leader. I like Deshaun Watson. To me, the quarterback play is the difference in this game.
Deshaun Watson, 30-3 as a starter with Clemson. I mean, that says it all right there. This kid knows how to win football games. And you hit it right on the head about this Ohio State passing attack. You break down the numbers here. Ohio State throws the ball for 221 a game. Clemson throws it for 332 a game. That's a 100-plus yards advantage to Clemson. Their defenses are pretty close to mirroring one another, especially that way in the passing game. Huge edge to Clemson in the airways in this game. I think a big edge here also. Dabo Swinney at his absolute best against good quality football teams. You put him up as a dog against anybody with a 750 or better record. He's 12-2 to the spread, 5-0 in bowl games. He's been there. He's done that. This team is experienced. They've lost to Alabama in the title game last year. If there's a team that's in question as to whether they should be in this Final Four playoff game, it's Ohio State. I know there's only one loss, but they didn't win a conference title championship game, and I think that team in question bows out in this game. I like Clemson to upend Ohio State.
Mark Lawrence, you can get all of this information that we're talking about over at the Playbook. He's also one of the covers experts, and also writes over Vegas Insider. Mark's everywhere, but we encourage you to check out the Playbook. And I know all you kids, you guys, you don't even use laptops anymore. So your mobile device, here, go to the Google Store, Android, and all that. All right, Mark, we got to get out of here. We're getting the hook. I appreciate it. Quickly on the NFL, you know, I see a few spots, but I'm going to tread carefully this week, Mark, in the NFL on the way out here.
Well, the one game I think is a trap game, just real quick, because I know we got to wrap it up here. Kansas City, I know they have some need in this football game, but remember, San Diego, this could be the last game ever in San Diego, the last game for Mike McCoy possibly as a head coach there. And I think Kansas City, off that big Denver win, could come up a little bit empty on Sunday.
I like where you're going with that. Mark Lawrence, Happy New Year, Mark. We'll catch up in the new year, and next time we talk, we'll be breaking down the national championship game.
My pleasure, Gabe. Best of luck to you and the listeners out there. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to everybody.
There's Mark Lawrence with us. Great stuff. We could have went on and on and on, man. Time just flies by. We've got Teddy Covers. You think that was good? It just keeps on getting better. Teddy Covers joins me coming up next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. You got to love my honesty, right? We can sit here and tell you how this show is live, because it is normally live. It's not live. And we're taping this a little bit earlier than normal. Early enough for me that I don't like it. And I could get used to it if I did it every day, but it's just sort of throwing me out of my rhythm. Man, I did a podcast till like 1 in the morning last night. Like, there's not enough hours in the day, but I really do appreciate the man joining us right now, because it's early in the morning for him in Las Vegas, Nevada, right now. But let's be real, he's got to get up, because the rest of the world starts 3 hours ahead of Vegas. Mr. Teddy Covers joins us. Good morning, Teddy. Always a pleasure, my man.
Morenci, what's the good word, my friend? And it's not that big a deal. I mean, I'm usually at my desk by about 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
A lot of days it's earlier than that. So, you know, spot, no big deal, man. I'm awake. I'm good.
I've told people this. I knew it, too. I knew. We had Blessing on yesterday. He's like, Gabe, I'm up at 7. Like, people, when I lived in Vegas, too, I think people sort of thought, oh, Morenci's out at the casino till 5 in the morning every night and stuff. And I remember Dave, because Dave Malinsky lives like an old man. Right? He's in bed early. He's up at 6 a.m. And then I became that. And you do, because, like I said, with the sports world and the games and business and the shows, you know, the East Coast is 3 hours ahead. Like, you have to be on that. And it's funny, Teddy, when I was in Vegas, man, I was in bed by like 11 and I was up at like 7, 8 type deal. Like, you know, and on weekends, 8 o'clock's too late, man. You ain't getting up at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning in Vegas. You're in a lot of trouble if you do, you know, if you're a betting man.
Exactly. You're missing half of what's going on. And I'm the same way, Gabe. I mean, I came out here. I used to work in the bar restaurant business. I was out every night till sunrise.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've literally, you know, for like a decade, you know. And I came out to Vegas, and the first year I was out here, I was living the same lifestyle. And I was up every night, and I missed everything every morning. And after about it was the second year, I'm like, you can't do this, you know. You just can't. No. You can't do this and be successful as a full-time sports bettor. And then at that point, that's when the focus changed. And that's when all of a sudden 7 o'clock didn't seem like real early in the morning anymore.
All right, let's jump in here right now. You got a free pick over at Covers Experts. You got a write-up. Pretty nice of you to give a free pick away for the Alamo Bowl like this. So let's jump in here. And we just had Mark Lawrence on. Mark was making a case for Colorado because of all the numbers. And, you know, there's a lot of numbers on their side and a lot of trends on their side. But I read your preview, and I'm looking at an eyeball test and watching these two teams play on a weekly basis. And, you know, Colorado's offense doesn't really impress me very much, Teddy.
No, I mean, the Buffs defense is certainly the better of the two defenses. I don't think there's any question about that. And they were real good all season long. But when it comes to the ability to trade points and the ability for Colorado to both, A, stop Oklahoma State's high octane and offense, and B, if they fall behind, figure out a way to get back in the game. I've got concerns about both of those issues for the Buffs. And I mean, look, you know, this is a team that hasn't been bowling in the last 5 years. Came out, you know, where they have 9 wins over the previous 4 seasons combined. They've come a long way this year. Let's not underestimate what Colorado has accomplished, but they've done it with a limited task, you know, with a limited roster. And in a bowl game like this, that's where those limitations start to show, in my mind. Mike McIntyre deserves all the accolades he gets in terms of Coach of the Year and all that, but he doesn't have a quarterback with an NFL future. Oklahoma State does. Mason Rudolph's the real deal, you know, when you talk about skill position talent. You know, James Washington for the Cowboys. This is a guy that's drawing comparisons to previous Oklahoma State alumni, guys like, I don't know, Dez Bryant. That's the type of game-breaker that he is. So, I'd rather take the points there than lay them, especially in a bowl season where taking points has been the way to go since, what, Christmas Eve?
Wow.
Bowl underdogs, what, now 10-2 against the number, and that's on the heels of that 5-0 in the opener on that opening Saturday of bowl action as well.
Quickly on, speaking of dogs, to me the Nebraska-Tennessee game's kind of a coin flip to begin with, and it's 6.5, Teddy.
I'm with you. I mean, the issues with Nebraska, you know, they're going to be missing numerous key players. You know, it doesn't look like Tommy Armstrong is going to play. And when he gets announced as out, we may see this line go to 7. So if you like Nebraska, wait. You're not going to see Jordan Westerkamp, the Huskers' leading receiver.
Yeah, that's play. The kid I was worried about. The white kid there, right? He's good, that kid, that little kid there.
Yeah, well, they got a couple of key defenders as well. You know, Nate Jerry's all Big Ten safety. And then Boaz Joseph is kind of his backup. They both got suspended.
Yeah.
So they've got issues in the secondary. But I don't trust Tennessee to do. I certainly don't trust Tennessee to cover a number.
And we should know Jalen Hurts suspended too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that you know, but the running back stuff doesn't. I don't worry about that even a little bit. You know, I mean, I really don't. The whole thing. Oh my God, Christian McCaffrey's out, so you can't bet Stanford. Oh, Leonard Fournette's out, so you can't bet LSU. It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense.
But it just seems this Nebraska-Tennessee game has, you know, close game to the final whistle written all over it. You know.
It's certainly not a spot where I'm interested in laying points with the Volunteers. You know, when you look at how the season, whatever, how the entire season progressed for Tennessee, you know, all the injuries they suffered on the defensive side of the football, can't trust them to make stops. Look at the offenses that move the ball up and down the field against Tennessee over the back half of the campaign. You know, when teams like Missouri and Vanderbilt are marching up and down the field against your defense, you're not a team I'm going to lay close to a touchdown with just a few weeks later.
Yeah, watch that Mizzou game. All right, our Michigan Wolverines, Teddy. I hate it, man. You know, it's good news, bad news. I love that Harbaugh's our coach. I hate that the public loves betting on Harbaugh as much as they do. It's like our boy Babano had a good line for it. He goes, it's the Harbaugh tax. It is. Like, it really is like a tax. Like, you know, Michigan should be -4, right? But it's 7. I think Michigan wins, but I'm not in a hurry to lay 7.
No, I can't lay 7 in this game. You know, I wouldn't even think about laying 7 in this game.
Yeah. All right, we got the Washington's 13.5 right now. All right,
that was easy.
Well, I don't know. I got to yeah, anything else you want to add on that one, Michigan? And you went to Michigan. I figured, yeah, let's. I was like, oh, I can't wait to talk the Michigan game with Teddy. And yeah, we gave it 15 seconds. Yeah, I can't lay 70. I mean, either. Next.
But that's the truth of it. I mean, you know, the Wolverines, remember, they started out 4-0 against the spread. Would they cover two numbers the rest of the year?
Yeah.
You know, there is a Michigan tax. They've been overvalued, and they, in my mind, looking at the number, based on the personnel for these two teams, Michigan continues to be overvalued. I'll just put it that way.
I see a 13.5 now for Washington and Bama. Under that, I don't know. Is 14 a key number in college?
It can be.
I guess.
You know, I mean, 14 is worth more than 15.
I'd put it this way. I guess I don't know how key it is, but you're right. I'd rather lay 13.5 than 14.5, if that's the answer, I guess, right?
Yeah, every half point matters. You half point. I'm not going to walk across the street for a half point. And you know what? If you turn one loss into a push and one push into a win out of every 100 bets you make based on a half point, you'd be shocked at what that does to your bottom line.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I mean, enormous difference in your overall profitability. One out of 100. So
I don't want to put you in a bad spot, Teddy, because, you know, it's the final two games, so I don't know what you have, I don't know what you're giving to your clients and stuff. But one thing I will note, you and I talked about this total, and I remember I said to you, I can't wait to see what the over-under of this game is, actually. 54.5 doesn't scare me. I like the over.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest concern here is whether Washington is going to be able to score. You know, not whether Alabama. When you watch Jake Browning against USC, and then you watched him again in the Colorado game, it gives enough pause and concern about, because remember, in the Colorado game, Browning was awful, but the Huskies were able to just run the ball down their throat.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can do that. Well, I don't know. They're not going to be able to do that against Alabama. Browning's got to make plays, and if Browning doesn't make plays, Washington's going to have a hard time scoring.
I brought this up with Mark Lawrence. I called Browning the X factor, actually, and Connor Cook couldn't make plays last year against them, right? And I felt for that. Michigan State plus the points. You're right. It's going to be a problem with Browning. He's going to have to make plays, and he's going to have to make plays for 3.5 hours, and it's going to be a very hard thing for him to do. I think they're going to take Ross out of the equation. Gaskin's going to have a harder time. Popping a big one. But I agree with you, Teddy, because Bama's getting to 38. You know what I mean? They're going to, they just do. Like, they'll get to their 44 a game. They just find a way. They score without the ball all the time, too, right?
Well, I mean, it's one of these games where if you're going to make the handicap, you're going to make the case for Washington, you got to make the case that Washington is not going to allow a defensive or special team score.
Yeah.
And if you're making the case for Alabama, a team that averages a non-offensive score every week, a team that over the course, I mean, you go back to last November or something, they've had like 26 non-offensive touchdowns or some ridiculous number. If you're making the case for Bama, the case has got to be they are going to score non-offensive touchdown, and that is as key an element of the handicap as the Jake Browning piece of the equation if you're trying to pick a side or total for that one.
I read one of Malinsky's pieces a couple of weeks ago. I think he said 25 guys have scored a touchdown for Alabama. I was like, that's impossible. But it isn't. It's mind-blowing. What are you talking about? Like, the Washington Huskies, what, they got three guys that scored touchdowns? Four guys? Gaskin, Ross, Browning, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah, the tight end got two. Like, it's one of those deals. Time's flying by here, Ted. We only got 3 minutes. Clemson, Ohio State. I'm leaning the dog in this game. I like the quarterback. I like the passing attack a little bit better here.
Sure, I mean, it kind of feels Clemson, Alabama again, doesn't it?
It really does. And I think Clemson can get Bama all they can handle, because you just said it. You want to compete with Bama, you have to have a mobile quarterback that can throw the ball down the field. And that's Deshaun Watson. That's not Jake Browning.
Well, I mean, Browning had his moments, but when up against an elite defense, Browning did not have his moments. He was genuinely bad, and he was genuinely bad twice. And to me, that's a red flag. But, you know, for Clemson, Ohio State, I'm telling you, would anyone be upset if it was a rematch of last year? You know, great game, fun game to watch, exciting start to finish. You know, got the ratings. So Ohio State's pretty good, though.
I know. We're going against Urban Meyer. That always works out well.
Yeah, Meyer with extra time to repair.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I know. All right. So I was going to hit a little. We got quick 1 minute. NFL. Anything catch your eye?
a ton of stuff caught my eye. You know,
anything that you can share with us, I should say.
I'll tell you this: for a week 17 card, where a lot of week 17s, I'm struggling. You know, I'm struggling to find something. There's a lot of stuff that stands out. There are teams that are dead. Look at the Texans. The Texans got nothing to play for. Well, neither do the Titans. The Titans got a backup quarterback, and Houston does have something to play for in terms of that their offense doesn't work right now with Tom Savage at QB.
Yeah,
you know, games like that stand out to me where Houston's got nothing to play for.
Anthony Lynn, Buffalo Bills, says he's going to have him ready. Looks like he's going to get the job. It was 3. It's 3.5. E.J. Manuel starting. What's your take?
My first lean was any chance I get to bet against the Jets one more time this year, I want to take it. But I'm concerned about the E.J. Manuel thing. I really am. Tyrod Taylor's been pretty good. And E.J. Manuel has had plenty of chances, and he's never been good. So laying more than a field goal. I know I don't want the Jets. It's Buffalo or pass. But at this number, with this quarterback, I don't know I get to the window with the Bills. What about you? What's your take on that one?
I think they do play for him. We're talking about half points. I don't like that extra hook. I tell you that much. I prefer it to 3, but I think there's probably better spots. We got to get out of here, but you're right. It's weird for a week 17. All the crappy teams, and even like the wildcard teams are in, but we got all the big boys playing for something. The Patriots are playing for something. The Broncos and the Raiders, still big game. Okay, quickly on that. McGloin goes in there, wins or loses. Got to lose, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, the only teams Denver has beaten over the last 2 months, they beat the Jaguars. And if you remember the game, no, they didn't. The Jaguars beat themselves.
Yeah.
And then they beat the Saints on the game that the Saints won, but the extra point was blocked in return for 2.
Yeah.
That's the 2 wins Denver has over the last 2 months.
I know.
I can't lay points with the Broncos.
Finally, in closing, 10 seconds, Packers, Lions. It's 3 right now. Hard to get in front of the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, if you like the 3, bet it now. I'll just put it that way. I can only see the money coming on Green Bay.
Very good point. Teddy, you're the best. Always a pleasure, my man.
All right. Hey, Happy New Year, buddy. We'll talk to you next year.
Happy New Year. There's Ted Stefanski with us in the early morning hours. Game Time Decisions continues. Thanks to Mark Lawrence for joining us on the program, as well as Teddy Covers. I got to tell you, man, I'm enjoying the two-guest format. I'm more of a long talker, right? Like, we like to kick back and kick the tires on a bunch of games and stuff. And great show today, man. Not a lot of NFL talk. I know. But don't worry. We'll have some NFL talk for you tomorrow, guys. And we got the playoffs and the Super Bowl. We're going to be all freaking over it, all right? But we're going to come back in a minute here. We got our plays of the day coming up next. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. Let's start off with the Belk Bowl. Arkansas getting 7 against Va Tech. Love it. Give me the Hogs. I think they're going to be able to run the ball down the Hokies' throats. And I got to take 7 points in a football game that I think is going to be a pretty close game. But I like Arkansas a lot in this, plus the 7. Oklahoma State, don't love it quite as much, but to me, this game should be a pick 'em. I don't really think that highly of the Pac-12. I think we got a better quarterback with Mason Rudolph. Give me the 3 points with the Pokes. Oklahoma State and Colorado, I've been getting killed with these college bowl totals, man, and they're really unpredictable. The games that are supposed to be track meets stay under, and the games supposed to stay under are track meets. But the Alamo Bowl historically has been a high scoring game. It's indoors. Weather's not going to be a factor. I'm going over 62.5. We got an early morning bowl game that starts before game time decisions. Georgia plus 2.5 against TCU. And give me the Lakers minus 2 tonight against the Mavericks. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.